Hello everyone, thank you for tuning in to World News. And now, leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has called for stopping exports of oil and other commodities to Israel in response to the regime's bloodshed in the Gaza Strip. Ayatollah Khamenei also demanded immediate end to the Israeli bombing of the besieged Palestinian territory. Now, addressing Iranian students on the eve of National Students Day, leader censured the West for calling Palestinian resistance fighters terrorists. He said the Islamic world will not forget U.S., France, and Britain for their stance against oppressed Palestinians. Ayatollah Khamenei stressed the final victory over the occupying regime is just around the corner for Palestinians. He said the fight between the Israeli regime and resistance groups is actually a fight between right and wrong. And more bloodshed in Gaza. Israel carries out new deadly airstrikes in the Jabalia refugee camp in north of the Gaza Strip. As the regime continues its atrocities against Palestinians, new attack on Jabalia killed and injured dozens, and that's a day after at least 400 people were killed in the first strike on the refugee camp. Meantime, the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says seven captives, including three foreigners, were killed in the Tuesday bombing. Palestinian sources say Israel's used internationally banned white phosphorus in its attacks on Jabalia. Since October the 7th, attacks on Gaza have claimed the lives of nearly 8,800 people, including more than 3,600 children. Joining us now from Khan Yunis is Ashraf Shannon for the latest. Hello, Ashraf. Really hope you are safe and doing well out there. What can you tell us?
Well, Danny, regarding the Jabalia refugee camp massacres, according to local sources, that the number of those who were killed is at least 900. It's not the dozens or scores. 900 people were killed. Many of them are children and women. It was a horrific day, maybe similar to the Al Ahli Al Arabi hospital, where nearly 400 people were killed, as Israel used white peat or white phosphorus shells to attack that neighborhood. And a few hours ago, also not far from that neighborhood that was bombed twice in Jabalia refugee camp, Israeli fighter jets also carpet-bombed another neighborhood. We're still waiting for more information because of the internet and phone disruptions by the Israeli regime. It's hard to get information from one point to the other point in the Gaza Strip. Sometimes we have to wait for journalists who manage to go to the northern part of the Gaza Strip to come back and tell us what happened. Meanwhile, 17 hospitals, literally 17 hospitals, have stopped working in Gaza, in addition to 32 clinics, also stopped working due to lack of fuel and lack of medicinal supplies. Also, the Indonesian hospital in northern Gaza that provides services to most of the northern part of the areas like Jabalia, Beit Hanun, and Beit Lahia, and also provides services for the Jabalia refugee camp, was forced to shut down its main electricity backup generator. Since the beginning of this Israeli atrocity against Gaza, not a single drop of fuel has made it to the Gaza Strip. And also, nearly 500 trucks, if not mistaken, have made it to the Gaza Strip. But according to the Palestinian the government media office, they're saying that each person in Gaza will get like 5 milliliters of water if you distribute that aid to them. Talking about water, and most of the supplies that are coming in are not needed for Gaza hospital. They're saying that the Israeli regime agents check every truck that comes in, and they remove many of the objects that are in there that are used for surgeries and also for medicinal purposes, calling it a dual-use material, meaning that they claim that such material will be used to make bombs or explosives. This while at least 10,000 people have been killed. The official statistics is 8,800 point something, but the reality is there are people, more than 2,500 people, who have been under the rubble for 10 days now. It's impossible for them to remain alive.
Wow, that is just a nightmare, Ashraf. Our hearts really go out to you and everyone else out there that's with you right now. Take care, pal. We'll talk to you soon. Ashraf Shannon joining us from Khan Yunis. And anger and condemnations continue pouring in over these deadly attacks on densely populated Jabalia refugee camp by the Israeli regime. UN Secretary General decried the regime's raids. Antonio Guterres said he's appalled by the killing of Palestinians, including women and children, in Israel's airstrikes on Jabalia's residential areas. The UN humanitarian chief also described the strike as just the latest atrocity to befall the people of Gaza. Martin Griffiths said the world seems unable or unwilling to act, stressing the current situation cannot go on. Meanwhile, the United Nations Human Rights Office said the Israeli raids on the refugee camp could amount to war crimes.
Given the high number of civilian casualties and the scale of destruction following Israeli airstrikes on Jabalia refugee camp, we have serious concerns that these are disproportionate attacks that could amount to war crimes.
European Union foreign policy chief also said that he is appalled by the high number of casualties at the camp. Joseph Borrell, however, reiterated the bloc's support for Israel. Elsewhere in Asia, China strongly condemned Israel's assault, expressing deep shock over the matter. Argentina, home to Latin America's largest Jewish community, also condemned Israel's fatal raids on the refugee camp. The country's foreign ministry said nothing justifies the violation of international humanitarian law on this level. Argentina's reaction came a day after neighboring Bolivia cut diplomatic ties with Israel. Colombia and Chile have also recalled their ambassadors. Peru and Mexico, for their part, have called for a halt to Israel's onslaught on Gaza. Firas Al-Najim, manager of Canadian Defenders for Human Rights, says Israeli atrocities in the Gaza Strip have exposed the true face of the regime for the entire world to see.
The Israelis have no regard for any sanctity or any place of worship. They blew up a mosque, okay? They hit a church, one of the oldest churches in the world. And also, I watched a video just recently where these people were having a religious ceremony inside of a church, and there was an explosion just right outside the church, and you see the children and everybody in shock, and they're crying, and they're moving back and forth, and the nuns are sitting there. I mean, no respect at all to any international laws, to anything that has any sacred value to it. This is the true face of the Zionist regime. I think this recent fight, has really exposed the Zionist regime to the whole world.
Meanwhile, head of the Political Bureau of the Hamas Resistance Movement says Israeli regime's massacre in Gaza is only an attempt to cover up some of its defeats and losses.
Your massacres won't hide the fact that you were defeated on October 7 during the Al-Aqsa flood operation. You are committing massacres in the Gaza war to cover your own defeats. We remind the Zionist regime's allies at a forefront is the United States of America. We remind them to change their aggressive policies, stop funding the regime and controlling the international will that calls for peace and a ceasefire.
In a televised speech, Ismail Haniyeh warned Israeli massacre will cost the regime the lives of its own prisoners who are under heavy shelling in Gaza. He hailed the resilience of Palestinians in the face of relentless Israeli bombardment, saying they defeated the Zionist project to bring about a new Nakba and a mass displacement. The Hamas chief also said the region won't have stability as long as Palestinians' rights of sovereignty and return to their homeland are not realized. Haniyeh also lauded the historic pro-Palestine movement on the global stage, calling on people around the world to continue pressuring their decision-makers to stop their pro-Israel stance, which is tantamount to supporting genocide in Gaza. And Palestinians in the occupied West Bank have observed a general strike in protest of Israel's war crimes in the Gaza Strip. This as Palestinians continue to bid farewell to more martyrs amid an escalation of fighting between resistance fighters and the Israeli regime forces.
As the Israeli regime presses ahead with its atrocities, Palestinians in the occupied West Bank have held a general strike to express their condemnation. The shutdown brought busy life to a standstill, but protests and demonstrations were already organized all across the main cities. In one of those rallies, protesters marched to the headquarters of the United Nations in Ramallah, demanding an immediate stop to the genocide and ethnic cleansing against the Palestinians in Gaza.
These nonstop massacres in Gaza and the latest committed against the Jabalia refugee camp are a failed attempt to weaken the Palestinian resistance and break people's steadfastness. Fighting is continuing and the resistance groups are causing severe losses to the Israeli forces. And our people in the West Bank are also fighting the Israeli military measures and brutality.
We have the same occupation and we are the same people. Geography does not, you know, divide people. We are just the same. We are all targets. Whenever you are a Palestinian, you are a terrorist and you should be killed. People are killed for no reason and for nothing. So, you know, this is complete genocide. This is complete war crimes that should be stopped immediately, right now.
On the other hand, Israeli regime has escalated its military operations and incursions all over the occupied territories. Four Palestinians were killed on Wednesday. Three of them were martyred in Jenin during a military raid to the city and its refugee camp, and the fourth was killed in Tul Kerem. The Israeli military has also used drones during this recent raid to Jenin. This assault has caused severe damage to a number of buildings and to the alleys. During the funeral procession of the martyrs, identified as fighters from Fatah's Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, mourners vowed to continue fighting and avenge the killing of Palestinians in Gaza and here in the West Bank. So far, 130 Palestinians have been killed by the Israeli forces in the occupied West Bank, and over 2,000 have been wounded. According to the Palestinian Prisoners Society, almost 1,800 Palestinians were detained during the daily raids, and for the third week, entrances to most Palestinian villages, towns, and cities have been blocked by military checkpoints, earth mounds, cement blocks, and iron gates, preventing movement between them, amid an increased Israeli crackdown. Palestinians say the heavy crackdown is meant to prevent them from engaging in different forms of anti-Israel activities. With the escalation of Israel's aggression on Gaza, the regime's military has also been stepping up violence against Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. Despite that, Palestinians in the West Bank say they would not back up from supporting their brothers and sisters in the Gaza Strip. Mona Qandil, Occupied Ramallah.
Yemeni army says it's launched a large group of drones at several targets deep within Israel. Yemeni armed forces added in their statement drones hit their targets, and this is the latest in a spate of Yemeni army's attacks on targets in Israel since the regime began its aggression against Gaza. Yemen's army added it will continue its operations in support of Palestinians until the Israeli aggression stops. On Tuesday, the Yemeni army carried out a series of operations against Israel using drones and ballistic missiles. A similar strike was carried out Friday. France has received worldwide condemnation for its repeated banning of demonstrations in support of Palestine. The latest banned protests in Paris, a whopping €200,000 in fines were handed out in what many say is an effort to intimidate citizens from using their right to freedom of speech and expression. Rami Mazahiri reports.
Just 90 minutes before a highly anticipated march across Paris last weekend against Israel's war atrocities in Gaza, local authorities suddenly revoked the permit for the protest. That gave police legal justification to use a tool of political repression not seen since the Yellow Vests: massive fines. Out of perhaps 4,000 people, 1,400 protesters were given fines of €135 each. That's a total of nearly €200,000 extracted from the pockets of peaceful demonstrators, many of whom did not even know about the last-minute banning of the protest. Some of the fines may be dropped due to the controversial cancellation, but the initial figures were widely relayed by the media. The use of mass fines is the latest example of how France has effectively criminalized public support of Palestine and also silenced dissent against what is widely perceived as one-sided support for Tel Aviv, despite war crimes which have shocked the world.
Ne sont que un des éléments.
We must recall that this is just one element of the French government's absolute support for Israel. We saw Macron recently suggest that the West's anti-ISIL coalition actually be used against the people of Gaza. He also sought a nationwide ban on all pro-Palestinian marches, has constantly waved a false flag of anti-Semitism, tried to ban the boycott, divestment and sanctions campaign, and on and on.
Demonstrations against Israeli atrocities have effectively been banned nationwide since October 7th, with only two legal protests allowed thus far in the capital. Two protests are planned in Paris later this week, but many say it's difficult to trust that the government will consistently honor the rights to freedom of assembly and freedom of speech when it comes to Palestine. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Pakistani parliament calls for immediate end to the violence in Gaza, strongly condemning Israel's aggression against Palestinians. Nasser Kazmi has your story from Islamabad.
Pakistani lawmakers have voiced their concerns over the ongoing Israeli atrocities in Palestine, urging for a swift resolution and the provision of humanitarian aid to those affected. While calling for an immediate ceasefire, the Pakistani MPs reaffirmed the need for international bodies to uphold justice and support the establishment of a free Palestine. The senators unanimously denounced the dual standards employed by certain Western powers, urging for concerted international efforts to achieve an unconditional ceasefire and establish a free Palestinian state.
Very clear message to the West that come what may, we will stand with the Palestinians till they are free, and that Israel will not be allowed to become the aggressor of the world, and with bombs and ammunition provided by the West, they cannot repress the people of Palestine.
The Pakistani politicians also criticized the increase in Western funding to Israel, highlighting the need for a more principled approach to the conflict. The parliament also adopted a unanimous resolution condemning Israel's willing violation of the Geneva Convention and the UN resolution on Palestine.
The call for a ceasefire and humanitarian relief by Pakistani parliament underscores the importance of addressing the root causes of the conflict and finding a sustainable solution that respects the rights and dignity of the innocent Palestinian people. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
And that's it for your latest, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on World News.
The bustle of life. The sound of living. The sound will endure.
Hello.
IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
When the night arrives, Palestinian mothers hold their children close and try to shield them with love. Families gather together in one room so that if they are bombed, they can die together. Nobody will be left to feel sorrow. As the minutes pass, the sky intermittently turns a terrifying red. The explosions bring a malevolent light, which reflects onto their homes. They do not know what is happening in places that are out of sight. This state of uncertainty haunts everyone every night. Regarding the situation of Palestinians in Gaza, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, "When Gaza is under a major Israeli regime attack, the night is a time of huge fear and anxiety. The effect is suffocating. Once the sun goes down, Gaza transforms into a place where danger has escalated. All Palestinian lives are threatened. Every moment is filled with suffering and apprehension. The night is supposed to cradle them with warmth and love, allowing them to rest after a busy day. When Palestinians are under a major attack, everyone fears the night. At nighttime, the faint glow of the melancholic moon barely pierces through the immense shroud of smoke and dust. The moon's shadows are not comforting any longer. The moon's appearance is associated with the horrors of ruthless aggression. Palestinians used to eagerly await the night. They could indulge in conversations with their siblings. They could gather around with snacks and prepare to watch a movie. But nowadays, when the night arrives, Palestinian mothers hold their children close and try to shield them with love. Families gather together in one room so that if they are bombed, they can die together. Nobody knows if the target is a friend, someone close. Every unfamiliar sound is a potential harbinger of death. Homes tremble as if in an earthquake. Parents try to reassure their children. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid. But how can kids not be afraid when they feel that they might be the target of the next explosion? The sound of ambulances is alarming. It tells you that people have been martyred and others wounded. Children have been turned into orphans. Wives have been turned into widows. There are people missing. There are people trapped under the rubble, waiting to be rescued. A person who is rescued might be the sole survivor in a family. As long as they live, they will bear the scars of the genocide now being committed in Gaza. When a building is bombed, everyone who is not immediately knocked down starts to run, not knowing where to go or where to hide. In the inky blackness, rest is an unattainable dream. Sometimes people fall asleep from the fatigue, maybe in a hospital or a shelter, their eyes filled with tears and dust, and maybe blood. And when dawn finally breaks, it reveals the stark truth of the massive destruction that occurred during the night. The destruction serves as an unrelenting reminder of the Zionist regime's cruelty. How many more nights of terror must people in Gaza endure? How many innocent people must be killed before the Zionist regime feels the thrill of achieving its goals? When will the genocide stop? Regarding the situation of people in Gaza, Palestine Chronicle also wrote, "For about 40 hours, residents of the Gaza Strip were cut off from the rest of the world as the Zionist regime occupation forces severed internet and communication networks throughout the entire strip. The Palestinian Ministry of Health issued a distress call to all the free people of the world, urging them to intervene and restore internet and communications networks. Emergency response crews and civil defense teams were heavily reliant on these networks to respond to rescue and recover those killed and injured by the Zionist regime's missile strikes." Mohammed Al-Hajj, in the communications director at Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital in Deir al-Balah, said in interview with Palestine Chronicle, "The 40-hour cut in services by the Israeli government resulted in the unnecessary death of many wounded." Al-Hajj added,
We no longer know what is happening in the Gaza Strip. We rely on the ambulance teams for directions to the strike locations, and we redirect ambulance and civil defense vehicles accordingly. Al-Haj told the Palestine Chronicle that the blackout put citizens' lives at risk and resulted in the loss of many lives due to the delay in the arrival of ambulance and civil defense teams. Jacob Hamad, a volunteer who is assisting in treating the wounded at the Return Hospital in the Nusayrat refugee camp, said that Gaza endured two harsh, dark nights. Experiencing heavy bombardment, the Strip was isolated from the rest of the world. Hamad said in an interview with the Palestine Chronicle, "Israeli occupation forces struck Gaza intensively during the past two nights, with the most firepower since the beginning of the Israeli aggression on Gaza. We were waiting for the arrival of the first wounded person to the Return Hospital in the civilian vehicles so we could ask about the location of the airstrikes. We would then mobilize ambulance and civil defense vehicles to the scene. This takes longer and results in the deaths of many wounded. The arrival of the wounded in the civilian vehicles to the hospital and their movement during the airstrikes endangers their lives, but there is no alternative to transporting them in civilian vehicles, which only adds even greater risk and suffering for all the residents of the Gaza Strip." Another Gaza resident, Mahmoud Haroun, told the Palestine Chronicle that Israeli regime forces targeted the entire residential area of the Nusayrat refugee camp, killing more than 15 Palestinians and injuring dozens. Haroun explained that it was impossible to communicate with emergency services and they didn't arrive at the scene until nearly half an hour later. Haroun said, "Dozens of young people from the neighborhood whom got saved from injury during the shelling, volunteered to evacuate the wounded and the martyrs. But the rescue efforts were very weak and we relied on the fires caused by the missiles for visibility because there has been no electricity in Gaza for more than 20 days. Haroun lamented, "The cries of the children and the wounded at the bombing site were many. And what saddened us the most was our feeling of helplessness in alleviating their suffering. We have no medical equipment and we can't alleviate their pain. Our work was limited to moving the wounded from the bombing site until the ambulances arrived." Abdulrahman Khaled, a young resident of the Nusayrat refugee camp, told the Palestine Chronicle that his good friend, Anas, was killed in an Israeli regime shelling of a residential apartment in the camp after midnight. "He didn't find out about his friend's martyrdom until a day after the Zionist regime's bombing," Khaled told the Palestine Chronicle. "My friend Anas and all members of his family were buried. And I didn't know that he had been martyred or that his house was targeted by Israeli shelling because there was no communication and internet for almost 2 days in all of Gaza. Communications have been restored now, giving the survivors time amidst the falling bombs to rescue their wounded and bury their martyrs."
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies from all around the world. Welcome back to a new episode of your own program, Muslim Lady. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm Asma. I have the honor to be your host once more. And here we have Sister Zainab with us. Assalamu alaikum, sister. And
alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Speaking of relationships, since there are men and women in the relationships, there is no way to forget about betrayal. In all the stories and all the movies and all the TV series, even those who love each other, there comes a time in their life in which they must be trapped with some betrayals. And maybe sometimes even unconsciously, they get into betrayal. There are different definitions for that. And I would like you to explain a little bit more on that fact.
Depends on what betrayal means to you, what betrayal means to your partner. Because mm-hmm. sometimes maybe you are betrayed by your partner, but then when you start an open communication, you would find out that the person does not even believe he has betrayed you.
According to all women, betrayal is when you look at someone else except me in this world.
Yes, maybe. Yeah. Actually, you have to define the lines of betrayal for yourself, for your partner, and you've got to be talking about them. Because cheating is not limited to having a romantic affair with someone else. It can manifest itself, you know, in numerous ways with even with various parts of your body playing a role in this betrayal. As you said, looking at someone, I would say there are different types of betrayals. They are, each is one is associated with different aspect of your physical self, because these include visual betrayal. And this is not us differentiating that. This is a hadith by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's this visual betrayal where you look at a non-mahram with a different desire, where there's a betrayal through speech, there's a betrayal through hearing with a lustful intention, there's a betrayal through hands, through physical touch, there's a betrayal through your feet, like you're heading to meet some non-mahram with some wrongful intention. So, you know, it's actually... betrayal could be of many types, and you should be explaining that to your partner before, like you enter into a relationship, before you start a mutual life together. You should be clearing these boundaries. Look, for me, betrayal is this, what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. So maybe for you, betrayal is at the last stage. You know, when I find you with someone else, maybe that time. That's
you would
the
call
definition
that
of your betrayal.
But no, to me, no. Everything is betrayal.
Yes. So talking about visual betrayal, this refers to looking at non-mahram with a lustful intent. You know, in Quran, there's this verse, tell the believing men to lower their gaze and guard their chastity. That's in Surah Nur, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us. Now let me explain the story behind this verse, you know. In Medina, there was a young man from the Ansar who one day saw a beautiful woman. She was not dressed modestly, basically. So he kept staring at her and even followed her into an alley of Medina. And in those days in Medina, you know, there were these walls of the alleys where they were like the, I don't know, the bones of the animals were put into the walls for the decoration, the mirrors, the strong things, so that people, you know, go for robbery and all. So he kept at staring at her and follows her into an alley. Then suddenly something sharp hidden in the wall scratched his face, causing it to bleed. The young man, when he realizes this, he decides to go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tell him what happened. When he informs the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of the incident and the injury that that he had on his face now, and tells the whole story, It was at this moment that the angel Jibril comes up with this verse, and this verse was revealed. Now, this verse does not mean that you should never look at anything. You know, you should be...
Intention is very important.
Yes, it means you should be very careful about where you direct your gaze.
Exactly.
It's especially important when it comes to looking at people who are not allowed in Islam, who are non-mahrams, you know, or you're looking at something indecent. Or something. So it's about being respectful and modest in your gaze.
Exactly. So now we have to go for a break. So we go for a break and then we'll be back to hear the rest of the stories. A lot of details for betrayal when we talk about relationships. So you were just telling the story, Sister Zainab, and we were talking about visual betrayal, as in when you do not lower your gaze or when you intentionally direct your gaze upon something that you shouldn't see it, you shouldn't gaze into it.
Right. We have another hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam where he says, show respect and purity in your behavior towards other people's women. By doing so, you're actually ensuring that others will also treat your own women with respect, keeping them safe from the harm of the unfaithful individuals.
Yeah.
So what do you like for yourself, like
exactly.
for others as well? There's also this incident.
What goes around comes around.
Right. There's this Abu Basir, one of the companions, who asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, is it okay for a man to look at the woman as she passes on the street? You know,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's natural. Like
yeah,
a woman
happened.
Is passing on the street and he says, is it okay? Then the noble Imam responded by asking a very, very good question. He says, would any one of you be comfortable with a stranger looking at your wife or a female member?
Of course not.
Abu Basir replied, no. Then the Imam said, treat others as you would like to be treated yourself.
Exactly.
Imam Sadiq alayhi salam mentions in another instance, people who gaze at the women of others, how can they be certain that others won't do the same to their own wives?
Mm-hmm.
There's a commentary on Quran called Ruhul Bayan. And there's a story about these three brothers in ST. The oldest brother was a person who would call to prayer from the minaret of a mosque. And he did this for 10 years and then he passes away. The second brother continued this duty for several more years and then he also passes away. Now the people in the ST asked the youngest brother to take up the responsibility and not let the call prayer to stop coming from the minaret. But you know what happens? He refuses. Even when they offered him money and then he says, even if you offer me 100-fold, I won't accept. People wonder why he's not accepting. He explained that it was not because saying the call prayer is not a good thing. He does not want to bring himself to that particular minaret. When asked for the reason and inquired, he shared a sad story. He told them that this minaret was a place where his older brothers had died without faith. Although they were doing a call prayer, they were announcing call prayers from there. In the last moments of his elder brother's life, he was there by his side and he wanted to recite a special chapter, Surah Yasin, to make his passing away easier. But the brother stopped him from doing so. The same happened with the second brother. Then troubled by this, you know, he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the answers. And he had a dream where he saw his elder brother suffering. He asks his brother, what had happened actually with both of you? Why you died unfaithful? Why, you know, I was not able to recite surah for you and all. Then his brother explained that when they used to go up the minaret, they would look indecently at the daughters of the people inside the houses below.
Oh my God.
This wrongful behavior occupied their thoughts and hearts, and they neglected their connection with God. It was because of this bad action that they met an unfortunate end.
Yeah, that's very sad a story. So I guess, and it has got so much to learn.
Yes.
The moral of the story is very important. You might have a wrong intention at the very course of what you're doing. So we have to take care of every single thing we do and our intentions, because that's the whole thing that matters. So let's go for another break and then we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, and this is your favorite program, Muslim Lady. Well, dear ladies, we were talking about different forms of betrayal. We said that there might be some visual betrayals, but the gaze has come in your path without you even deciding for that. So how can I control that?
There are different ways, definitely. So first of all, we should reflect on the benefits of averting our gaze from the forbidden sites, both in this world and that world. What could be the consequences if I avoid gazing at a particular thing?
When we say visual betrayal, we're not just addressing men. We're talking to Muslim ladies right now, and it could happen to them as well.
Right. Imam Ali Islam talks about a particular gender here, but it could apply to both. He says that if you find attracted to a woman, turn your attention towards your family, for the same aspects of pleasure that you may find in the other woman are also present in your own wife.
Exactly.
This means, like, for your pleasure, there's not a significant difference between the two. If you're not married, engage yourself in the two units of prayers. You know, increase your supplications and send a lot of blessings to Muhammad, or Ali Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the, you know, Allah's mercy, the vastness of His mercy will be sufficient for you. It will actually take away that thing from you.
It will fill your heart, actually.
And that's a quote from Imam Ali alayhi salam, who should be believed.
If you trust yourself in Allah's hand, He would actually take care of you. But you have to be so much attentive in that way as well. It's not just like, okay, I'll trust myself to God and He would do the rest for me. No, you must have the good intention that, okay, I need to protect myself. And then you ask Allah's help, and then He would help you just as at the same time that you are helping yourself as well.
We also have these beautiful verses from Surah Talaq that if you give away something in the path of Allah, if you avoid something, basically,
exactly, for the intention of gaining Allah's respect.
Yes, you will get sustenance and provision from the places which you have never ever imagined.
Exactly.
So, and practice that. Honestly, this is Allah's word. That if you avoid something, you're getting invited towards a particular thing. And if you avoid that thing for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you won't even imagine where from you're getting back, you know.
Exactly.
His, the way He provides you with the provision, the way He provides with you the sustenance.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, just speaking of betrayal, I remembered a poem, a Persian poem, which goes like this, as in the whole idea of the poem is something like this, that the poet is complaining to Allah from his heart and from his eyes. And he says that whatever my eyes see, my heart would wish for. So we understand that the first step toward betrayal, unfortunately, might be your eyes. So be it a woman or a man, be it a married person or a single person, when you look at someone and then your eyes go somewhere that it shouldn't go, then there might be some passion toward that person. There might be some attraction. There might be something that you feel you're too much inclined to that person, toward that person. So this is so sad for you, because tolerating this situation is very difficult. So the best way to just deal with these situations is to stop it from the very first point, which is the gazing, which is the eyes. Take care of your eyes and do not let your eyes see whatever. The innocence of your eyes should not be taken away, because that's, I guess, the best cloth your eyes are wearing, which is innocence and virtue. So yes, that's very important, to be committed to the relationships you have. Even pretty much more better to be careful about your intentions in the relationships you have. And if you are not in a relationship, again, in order to protect yourself from the traps of devil, you have to control yourself, your passion, and most importantly, your eyes and the things you look at. So this was all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it, my son ladies. Until another session, bid you farewell.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
In the limelight.
Relatively few Americans say they're very or extremely confident that they could pay an unexpected medical bill, 26%, or have enough money for retirement, 18%. Only about one-third of the American public are very confident that their current financial situation will allow them to keep up with their expenses. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The Chicago Tribune has covered this story and tells us more. According to a new opinion poll from the Associated Press, NORC Center for Public Affairs Research, about 2 in 3 Americans say their household expenses have risen over the last year, but only about 1 in 4 say their income has increased in the same period. As household expenses outpace earnings, many are expressing concern about their financial futures. What's more, for most Americans, household debt has either risen in the last year or has not gone away. Steve Shapiro, a 61-year-old who works as an audio engineer in Pittsburgh, said he's been spending about $100 a week on groceries prior to this past year, but that he's now shelling out closer to $200. He said, "My income has stayed the same. The economy is good on paper, but I'm not doing great." About 8 in 10 Americans, or 80%, say their overall household debt is higher or about the same as it was a year ago. About half say they currently have credit card debt, 4 in 10 are dealing with auto loans, and about 1 in 4 have medical debt. Just 15% of the American public say their household savings have increased over the last year. Tracy Gonzalez, a 36-year-old who works as a subcontractor in construction in San Antonio, Texas, has several thousand dollars of medical debt from an emergency room visit for what she thought was a bad headache, but turned out to be a tooth infection. She said, "They'll treat you, but the bills are crazy." Gonzalez said she's tried to avoid seeking medical treatment because of the costs. Relatively few Americans say they're very or extremely confident that they could pay for an unexpected medical bill, 26%, or have enough money for their retirement, 18%. Only about one-third of the American public are very confident that their current financial situation will allow them to keep up with their expenses. Steve Shapiro of Pittsburgh said, "I've been looking forward to retirement my entire life. Recently, I realized it's just not going to happen." He added that his wife's $30,000 or so of student debt is a financial factor for his household. The couple had hoped to sell their home and move this past year, but decided instead to hold on to their mortgage rate of 3.4% rather than face a higher rate. The Associated Press has also covered the same story and tells us more. About 3 in 10 Americans say they've foregone a major purchase because of higher interest rates in the last year. Nearly 1 in 4 U.S. adults have student debt and U.S. credit card debt and other major types of revolving loans surpassed $1 trillion in August. Will Klaus, a 77-year-old from Westlake, Ohio, said inflation is his biggest concern as he lives on a fixed income in his retirement. He said a box of movie candy that used to cost 99 cents is now $1.50 at the grocery store. That's a 50% increase in price. Somebody's taking advantage of somebody. Americans are generally split on whether the Republicans, 29%, or the Democrats, 25%, are better suited to handle the issue of inflation. 3 in 10, or nearly 30%, say they trust neither party to address inflation. Jerry Putnam, 85 years old, of Thomson, Georgia, said she's been following the ongoing auto workers strike with sympathy for the workers. She said, "I don't think it's out of line what they're asking for when you see what chief executive officers are making." She added, "I think things have gotten out of control when you can walk into a store and see the next day across the board a dollar increase. That's a little strange. I understand supply and demand, the cost of shipping, etc., but it seems to me everyone's looking at their bottom lines." Jerry Putnam also said she sees her 6 children struggling financially more than her generation did. She said, "They all have jobs and I've never been without them. They're achievers, but I think at least 2 or 3 of them will never be able to buy a home." A slight majority of all Americans polled, 54%, described their household's financial situation as good, which is about the same as it's been for the last year, but down from 63% in March of 2022. Older Americans are much more confident in their current finances than younger Americans. Just 29% of 18 to 29-year-olds described their household finances as good. About 3/4 of Americans described the nation's economy as poor, which is in line with measurements from early last year. The American newspaper The Hill has also covered the same story and tells us more. According to a new Commonwealth Fund survey, more than half of working-age adults struggled to afford health care this year. While the Commonwealth Fund, a private foundation that supports health care research, found that uninsured Americans struggled to pay for health care the most. Even those with employee-sponsored insurance are having a tough time affording health care. Of the insured, 43% of Americans with employee-sponsored health insurance struggled to afford health care this year. Meanwhile, 57% of those who purchased insurance on their own, such as on Affordable Care Act marketplaces, found it difficult to pay for health care this year. On top of that, 45% of Americans with Medicaid health insurance struggled to afford health care, as well as 51% of older Americans with Medicare. Sarah Collins, the Commonwealth Fund's Vice President for Healthcare Coverage and Tracking and lead author of the study, said, "While having health insurance is always better than not having it, the survey findings challenge the assumption that health insurance in the United States buys everyone affordable access to healthcare. And the high cost of healthcare is forcing many Americans to forego medical care. According to the survey, almost 40% of working-age adults in the United States reported skipping needed medical care or prescription drugs over the last year because they couldn't afford it. And according to the survey, almost 60% of those Americans who skipped or delayed health care because of the cost said their health worsened as a result. Uninsured Americans were the most likely to put off addressing their health, with 64% reporting they skipped or delayed needed health care or a prescription drug in the last year. But 29% of working-age adults with employee-sponsored health care coverage admitted to skipping or delaying needed health care or a prescription drug this year. Out of Americans who purchased their own health insurance, 37% said they skipped or delayed health care, while 39% of Medicaid health insurance holders and 42% of Medicare recipients said the same. The survey also found almost a third of working-age Americans said they had medical or dental debt because of the high cost of health care, and 39% of people with medical or dental debt said it forced them to cut back on their basic needs like food, heat, and rent. According to Sarah Collins, Commonwealth asked Americans whether inflation and other cost of living expenses made it harder to afford their health care. She said, "We found that insurance did not appear to protect many people sufficiently from the budget squeeze."
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Your headlines. Iran's leader strongly condemns Israeli atrocities against Palestinians, calling for a halt to exports of oil and other essentials to the Israeli regime. Global condemnations continue pouring in over Israel's deadly attack on Jabalia refugee camp in Gaza, with the UN Rights Office describing it as a war crime. And the Yemeni army hits several targets inside of Israel, with drones saying it will continue such operations until the regime's aggression against Gaza stops.